Yeah, that's what I was looking for. Thank you, Daniel. Couldn't figure out what I did with my clicker. Good morning, everybody. As we prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, I want to talk about a subject that is called blasphemy. When you hear that word, I'm sure that it creates a lot of thoughts with religious overtones, and maybe that word means something particular to you. Let me explain, first of all, that in the Bible, the word blasphemy does not necessarily have a religious overtone at all. In fact, it's just simply the word slander, really. It means to injure or impugn one's character, to malign someone. We might use an English word like libel to describe what blasphemy is. And you find it all over the Bible used to describe relationships between human beings. So, for example, Romans 3 and verse 8, Paul says, why not say, as we are slanderously reported to have said, and he goes on to explain the words that were falsely attributed to him. But the point is that the words slanderously reported is actually the Greek word blasphemia or blasphemy. It just simply means to slander someone. Or another one, Titus chapter 3 and verse 2, that Titus is to preach openly, to remind people to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, to be gentle. That's the word blasphemy right there, to not blaspheme other people. So get that idea in mind about slandering someone else, and then apply it to our relationship to God, and then you have a good understanding of what the word blasphemy really means. There are examples of that throughout Scripture. For example, in the Old Testament, in 2 Kings chapter 19, the people of God are reduced now to one final city, to Jerusalem, and they're hiding behind the walls, and the Babylonians have come in order to conquer them. And the Babylonians send an emissary to come to the walls of the city and to try to convince them to surrender, to give up, to come out so that there doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out conflict. And the kinds of things that the servants, the emissaries of the Babylonians say are things like this. Your God has no power to save you. Your God is no better than the gods of the other nations who have not been able to save their people because we've conquered every last one of them. So don't let your king and your leaders tell you that your God is going to be able to save you from us because he is not a powerful God. And in Isaiah's comment about that, or in God's comment through Isaiah, he says, "Do not be afraid because of the words that you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me." You see, those servants said, "God is not able." And that is a version of blasphemy. They're slandering God's power. They're belittling God's ability and his nature. I suppose you can understand that that is especially true when we think about the sort of treatment that Jesus received when it came to the cross. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 63, the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him and beating him, and they blindfolded him and were asking him, saying, "Prophesy, who's the one who hit you?" And they were saying many other things against him, blasphemy. So their blasphemy against him, as they were blaspheming his nature, they were belittling Jesus. Not only were they striking him, but they were saying he was less than who he claimed to be, that he was not the Christ, that he was not the Son of God. Hurling abuse at him in Matthew chapter 27 and verses 39 through 40, hurling abuse at him, which is the word blasphemy. It's not translated that way in most translations, but that's the word blasphemy. Hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." They were suggesting that Jesus was less than who he claimed to be. And not just during the period of the crucifixion, But later on, when Paul and others are traveling throughout the world preaching the gospel, there were others slandering the name of Christ. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. They were saying, "Why are you all serving and proclaiming the name of this Jesus? He's a nobody. He died on a cross. How can he save you?" And that's a version of blasphemy. Or Acts 26 and verse 11, that ironically, Paul himself, who was preaching the truth, says that there was once a time when he was still a Pharisee, when he punished Christians often in all the synagogues and tried to force them to blaspheme, trying to force them to deny that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. So there's the definition, there's the idea behind blaspheming someone else, especially God. So what's the takeaway this morning, and what do we need to be thinking about as we center our minds around the Lord's table? Let me give you three quick things this morning. The first thing is to know who Jesus is and to support him fully and completely, to never blaspheme his great name. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 20, Paul talks about two guys, Hymenaeus and Alexander, and that they had kind of lost their way and that they were struggling in their own faith, but more than that, they had become false teachers and they were causing others to deny Jesus. And so Paul says, "I have put them out of the church. I have handed them over into Satan's realm. Why? So that they may be taught not to blaspheme." So it was really a big deal. It was a big enough deal for someone claiming to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus, to say, "Oh, Jesus isn't who he said he was." And that was so false, it was ruining others' faith, that Paul said, "I have delivered him over to Satan." So understand who Jesus is. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. And support that and claim that openly. Confess that truth to others who ask you. Do not cause others to blaspheme God, either due to our words and our teaching or even due to our actions. In Romans chapter 2, there is this very important example where Paul is addressing an audience of people who should know the difference between right and wrong. And he says in Romans 2, verse 21, "You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that one should not steal, do you steal? You who say that one should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples?" And that's a little more confusing, and I think what he means by that is not, do you dress in black clothing and break in the middle of the night and steal gold from the idol's temple, but are you participating in that idolatry? You say that you hate idolatry, and then you go and support the temples. That's hypocrisy. "You who boast in the law, through your breaking the law, do you dishonor God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you." And then he reminds us of a scene that happens way back in 1 Samuel in the Old Testament, where King David had committed that flagrant sin with Bathsheba. And God had to punish him because he caused all of the surrounding nations who heard of his action to blaspheme the name of God. So you and I have to be very careful. Not only do we have to own up to who we believe Jesus is, to speak it forth boldly, but we have to watch our behavior too. So if we're acting in such a way that people look at our lives and they say, "Oh, yeah, that guy over there, he claims to be a Christian, but I know what he does on Friday night and Saturday night." If that's what a Christian looks like, then no thank you, I don't need any of that. Then we, through our actions, have caused someone else to blaspheme the name of God. Because obviously Jesus has no power to change his life, and he claims to be a Christian. So what's the point? See, our behavior is just as important as our words, to not cause others to blaspheme. And then finally, and you probably thought that this is what I was starting with, and when you hear the word blasphemy, this is what our minds instantly go to. And blasphemy is a bigger thing than just this. But it's part of this too. We need to be careful how we use God's name, and be careful that we don't use his name flippantly, and certainly that we would not reduce it to nothing more than a curse word. All the way back in the Ten Commandments, in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7, God is very, very plain about this and says not to take the name of the Lord in vain, that he who takes the name of the Lord in vain will be punished. God's really serious about defending his own name. And when somebody slanders his name, drags it through the mud, God doesn't like that. So be very careful in our everyday speech that we don't use God's name in a flippant or vulgar way. I'm not going to read this because I don't have a lot of time and I don't want to take us too far afield from the Lord's Supper. But if you just want to jot down Leviticus 24, 10 through 16 and read it later, you will see a situation where two men are in a fight, and one of them, I get the implication that he just kind of let slip the name of God in a vulgar way. Do you know that by the end of that scene, that he is actually given the death penalty for doing, not because of the fight, but because of what he did with the Lord's name, that he cursed God's name in the midst of that fight? I am not suggesting that people who say OMG are going to have to go down to the courthouse today and face the judge. But there is a judge in heaven who hears that. And God does not like his name used in a flippant or vain way. So eliminate that from casual conversation. Find something else innocent to say, and don't use the Lord's name in vain. It's a precious name. It's a holy name. It's the name through which we have been saved. So it's like, you know, taking a precious jewel and kind of flinging it in the mud. We wouldn't do that. So don't treat God's name that way either. It's a serious thing. Don't use God's name in a vain way. All right, to bring our minds back to the Lord's table this morning, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 26 through 27, says, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." So there is a connection that through our words and through our actions, we either honor or we slander the name of our God, and even in our worship. Even as we are gathered around this table this morning, we honor the Lord's name, and we show others the way we think of the Lord too. And so if we're busy checking Facebook or buying something on Amazon as the emblems are coming around, we suggest to the world that God's not very important. And that causes others to have a diminished view of God and of the sacrifice of Jesus. So take this very seriously. It's an act of worship. We are proclaiming to the world that God is God in heaven, that Jesus is his son, and that he is our savior, and that we eat this bread, it reminds us of his body. As we drink the fruit of the vine, that is the blood that he shed for a new covenant for us. And if it means less than that, then our minds are not engaged the way they ought to be. So let us not blaspheme the Lord in our worship. Let us elevate him, honor him, worship him, and speak truly of who he is and what he means to us, to the world around us. As we partake, Brian's going to lead us in a song here, and then we will partake of the Lord's Supper.